If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Gary. Gary Meyer on the line. Good morning to you, buddy.
Dave, hello. Welcome to Memorial Day 2023.
I know, the simple joys of summer, finally, some nice... Memorial Day is normally not like this. It's like 80 degrees all week long.
Well, here's the pit, Dave. In about 2 weeks, the Christmas will be rolling out in stores.
You might be right. Oh, you are right. You know, you and I were talking yesterday a little bit off air about the fact that, you know, summer, you know, for us growing up, our generation was a little different, a little simpler. And I'm on the boat with a bunch of kids, they're friends. And, you know, we're just cruising through. It's beautiful. It's sunny out. The lake looks beautiful. And everybody's on their phones. Like, I just don't, yeah. I don't get it. You know,
everybody, yes, but mostly there was a fact that was released last week that 95% of the youth are on some kind of internet connection all day.
Yeah.
And you are seeing that when you go out and do your leisure stuff. Here you are. You want to go coin diving in Lake Geneva, and they're sitting there just looking at their phone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I will tell you, like, at the dinner table, I'm very much like everyone's phone goes on the counter or in a basket or whatever while we have dinner so we can be uninterrupted. And what I've seen even more recently, like walking around a Wacker Drive over by the river, like, people are kayaking and they're on their phone. I know that some of them are taking pictures, but I'm like, you just can't kayak and enjoy being on a little boat going and doing your thing. Like, God, enjoy the vibe. So, like, that's going to be a new boat rule for me, is any kid that is getting on that boat, that phone, unless you're using it for music, goes in a bucket, you know?
I can't believe I'd even bring my phone on a kayak in the Chicago River. You're about 2 inches from whatever that water is, if it is in fact water. I'd be so afraid of having that thing touch water like that. I'd keep it at home.
No question. I know my 10-year-old said to me, he goes, you know, as we're you know, hanging out doing some summer stuff, he said, well, what did you used to do in the summer? I mean, you had no phone, you had no game. I had Pong, I guess, on the TV. But, like, what did you do? Like, and I said, well, I mean, at night, it was great at night. You'd go find the street lamp that was lit closest to your house, and you'd go play kick the can. Or so, and I think about how simple that was. Or, you know.
Well, we sound like we're 1,000 years old, but you're right. During the summer when I was a kid, you'd go with your friends early in the morning on your bike and return, usually not in a body bag, by sunset or even later. And that was the day. We didn't have any connection with phones as far as our parents. They just figured everything was going to be fine and we'd be home in about 12 hours. That was it. But that was the enjoyment of just being out and doing things. Like, one time we went to a rail yard. I grew up in West Pullman, and my friend and I don't believe we did this. We were about 9 years old, and we went over to some rail yard and hung out all day. Yeah. I mean, I know that doesn't have the same excitement as a video game, but it kind of does when you see hobos, as they were called back then,
right,
hanging out and just endangering your life that way.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Or, you know, or you like, I remember a little corner store I'd go to, and taking your bike to the corner store was a big deal, or running through the sprinkler, or grabbing your big wheel, or tossing a frisbee. I remember I had I think about this now, like, oh my, like, sacrilege. My grandfather, who's a World War II veteran, had a army tent, and we would just set it up in the backyard and hang out in there like it was nothing, not even thinking the historical value of where this tent was that he used in Paris when he was over there during the war. It's crazy to me.
But if you could find a Playboy magazine in your father's drawer, that was it. That was the month.
That was it. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I was thinking too, someone just texted in, skateboarding, roller skating. Was another simple joy of summer. I know. And
Dave, really, we sound like we're prehistoric.
No, I'm just telling you, though. But
I agree with you. But it is funny when you talk to somebody that's 30 or younger and start saying this stuff, they look at you like you're from another planet.
I know I said to my son yesterday, what did you do? Because I picked him up yesterday, or my son did it. My older son did it about 3 o'clock. I said, what did you do all day? Now, it was 80 degrees. I expected I went to the park. I was playing ball in the yard. Oh, I built some Legos, and then I was on my phone with my friend playing video games for 2 hours. I'm like, oh, man. Things got to change.
That's it. Things. Okay, what are you going to do? Take the phone away permanently. I did an experiment a few years ago. I talked about this on my show, where my phone went out. It was outdated, and I thought, okay, I'll get another phone. And I went a week without getting the phone. Then I went 2 weeks. So I thought, how long can I go without a cell phone? I think I went a year and a half. I swear to God, this was a few years ago. And it was difficult because we are so addicted. But here was the deal breaker. I had to pick somebody up at Midway Airport, and there was a payphone, still a payphone, about a half a block from the airport that was in a parking lot. And I thought, well, I'll call the person when I think they've landed and are walking out. So I put the coin in and no dial tone. And I looked to hit the coin return, hit that, and I heard something drop, and I pulled the coin return down, and I put my finger in there, and there was goo goo in there, and I thought, experiment is over.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it was always a bonus to find a quarter and something in there. All right, we're talking to Radio Hall of Famer Gary Meyer. Yeah, and we're going to talk about your dad's tape because it's so classic. It's something you've done for decades on the shows you've been on, and on Memorial Day, it is a perfect time to play that, and we're going to do that after a look at your weather and your traffic. So that song says summer to you.
Yeah. Like I said, if you remember 1968, all the craziness that was going on in the country and in Chicago, and it was, and we think there's madness now. There's been madness for a long time, and that was one of those years that had a lot of it. And I was going through some stuff, and this song came out, and I thought, boy, does this make me feel good. And then I was on an elevator with Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis, two-fifths of the Fifth Dimension. I thought I was near the Beatles, to me.
Yeah.
Because I was such a big fan. And every time I hear that song, I just feel so good.
There you go. Little Sounds of Summer. Everyone's got their favorite, man. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to pivot a little bit. You know, it's Memorial Day. Recent poll said that there's nearly 62% of Americans that don't truly understand the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, and a Vietnam vet was quoted saying, when people thank veterans on Memorial Day or when restaurants offer free meals to veterans, it does bother a lot of us veterans. It's not about us. It's about our brothers and sisters who died alongside us while in uniform, right?
Right. I know they kind of overlap in a number of ways, and I don't know if that's entirely bad, but it's remembering our military, past and present. I think we should devote a lot more than 2 days to that.
Yeah.
So if it's on people's minds beyond that, that's great.
I'm a guy who truly embraces tradition. There's been something you've aired for decades on both Memorial Day and Veterans Day that really took you to the days of war, and it's something your father recorded many years ago. Talk to us a little bit about that.
About 40 years ago, I walked into his house. He was sitting at the kitchen table with his little Panasonic recorder. Just about everybody had one of those, and he had just finished recording something, and he said, hey, can I play something for you? He played this tape that you're going to do a little snippet of, and it's on my show today at GaryMeyer.com in its entirety. It's about 13 minutes long, and it is extremely powerful if you want to, in just a few minutes, feel the complete horror of war. This is the tape, and it sent chills when I heard it, and he said, hey, would you be able to play this on your show? So I went back to my partner, Steve, and played it for him. He said, we got to play this, and we did, and the reaction was incredible. And every time I play it, I get this incredible reaction. And you've been so generous with your time every year, David, in playing this and sharing this. He'd be so humbled. He's been dead for 32 years now. He died at the age of 68. But this tape, again, every time I hear it, I just really lose my breath.
Well, you know, we talked about this before. Like, my grandfather was a World War II vet, and he received a Purple Heart for his injuries. He died back in 1986. And remember sitting him watching war movies with him. But he really, you know, that generation didn't open up about their experience. This wasn't something you sat down at a table and talked about. It was something very private. It was something very quiet. And so it was even shocking to you as his son to hear this tape and how he felt, because he'd never talked to you about it before.
He did not, and that was the first exposure I had to him being in World War II. He was all of about probably 20, 21 years old when he went through this.
Kids.
That's hard to fathom in itself.
No question. All right, let's take a little listen of Frank Meyer, Gary's dad, about his experience, and just a small excerpt of his experience in World War II.
My thoughts are reflected in December of 1944. Our division had just received word that the Germans had broken through our lines and had advanced 50 miles into Belgium. The whole mood at the time in our camp was one of concern and apprehension, for we all thought that the war would soon be over, since we were now fighting on German soil. I knew that being an infantryman in General Patton's Third Army meant a lot of action. The next morning, our outfit started out on foot toward the front. We were told to keep moving until we engaged the enemy, for at this point, we did not know where the Germans had advanced to. We had walked about 20 miles that day and took refuge that evening out in the open, digging our foxholes and keeping watch all that night. The next morning, we started out once again. I was trying to stay as close to my little Italian friend, because warm K rations now were very appealing to me. It wasn't long, however, that I heard rifle fire ahead, and our lieutenant yelled, "Hit the side of the road." I jumped immediately to a ditch covered with snow and laid there frightened with the realization that this would be my first major engagement with the enemy. We were now being shelled and pinned down by German tanks firing from the reverse side of the slope, which was from a little town of Haastrecht, Belgium. Our artillery started its barrage, but some of the shells were falling short into our own lines. This soon was corrected, and we inched our way closer so that our firepower from our company and the other flanking us would become very effective. Needless to say, the battle raged on all that day and late into the afternoon. The medics were hurrying about picking up the wounded. By nightfall, the few remaining Germans had surrendered, and the tanks had rambled off to the next town, which was Eschdorf. I was amazed at how young some of the Germans were, 16, 17 years of age. They were all dressed in white fur-lined garments, which of course was hard to see when they were blended in with a snowy background. We still had our brown khakis and made a good target laying out there in the snow. Our outfit was quickly assembled, and we were told that night that we would make an attack at about 1 a.m. Our objective was the town of Eschdorf. After a warm meal and a few hours' rest, we again set out to meet the enemy. We had not gone very far when the Germans opened fire and pinned us down. Off in a distance, I heard some of our tanks coming up in position. Before they even stopped, the German Tiger tanks had opened fire and made direct hits on two of our tanks. I heard the men screaming, and then there was total silence. I laid there motionless on the frozen snow, looking up at the stars of heaven. It was a clear night, and all the stars twinkled. At this moment, I realized it was Christmas Eve. Christ was born today, 1944 years ago.
He lost a lot of friends and comrades on that day, and it's why we celebrate all these veterans and military that on Memorial Day.
Yes, it goes on, and at the end, you're just, at least me, I'm thinking, my God. And then he comes back, as you said, doesn't talk about it. They didn't know PTSD.
Right.
And he just lived with whatever he had in his head as far as those nightmares. And then one day, somebody at the house slammed the door. He was in bed. He ran out. He thought he was back in the war. And that's part of what we learned along the way, that you've got to offer these veterans some health care that meets their needs. And that's what you were talking to Gary Sinise about a few minutes ago. Can I mention something that's related
to please,
that? A friend of mine is a veteran, Brad Parks, and he is going to be touring the entire country with a caravan this summer. And one of the vehicles will offer veterans testing to see if they have any poisons in their body, say, from Afghanistan, Iraq, or Camp Lejeune, that type of thing. And so if you want to see where that tour is going to be, it's going through Chicago. SoundOffTour.com, SoundOffTour.com. Today, there will be thousands of motorcyclists, I believe, at the Pentagon to start raising awareness for our veterans, giving them a megaphone.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Gary. And, you know, by the way, you can hear the entire recording of Gary's dad at GaryMeyer.com, where Gary's podcasting every Monday through Friday. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Have a great
David.
Memorial
Always
Day.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Too. Thank you, sir.